going to really put some labor into it and some effort into it. Never mind that. Be that as it may, hard work, labor, diligence, in addition to knowing how to use what God puts in your hands, which is wisdom, are sources of wealth. We talked about this next one last time. Integrity. Righteousness. Chapter 15 of Proverbs. Don't worry, we're not going to finish today. We're going to finish next time because there's a lot to say. We're just talking about the sources of wealth. I'm going to move on and talk about the dangers of wealth. I'm going to talk about the uses of wealth. And I'm going to talk about a proper perspective on wealth. So those things are all contained in the book of Proverbs. We may do it in two sessions, or we may push it into three. But I think since most everyone in this room is somehow involved in business of some sort, that we should be at least aware of all the things that the Word of God has to say about this rather important subject. So now this third source, besides wisdom, besides hard work, is the issue of one's character. Integrity. Righteousness. I remember once attending a luncheon in Dallas and hearing the founder of Steak and Ale, Helton, he was asked the question, when you hire managers for your restaurants, what's the first thing you look for? And he said, everybody was looking for me to tell them, you know, that they know how to run a good restaurant, they know how to run people. He said, no, what I look for is integrity. I want to be able to trust this person. And if I can trust this person, that person is not going to do me harm, that person's going to do me good. Because they're going to be conscientious. And I can, therefore, rest and allow them to carry on the responsibilities that I give them. Thereafter, of course, after that, it's performance that will count, but still, you got to start somewhere. Where do you start? You start with someone who at least shows evidence of being a person of honor, a person of integrity, a person of character. And let's face it, if you're going to hire someone, you're going to trust them with your resources, don't you want them to be trustworthy? And that's the whole point. It is trustworthiness, righteousness, or integrity that is a key factor in the acquisition of wealth. And so we read the following. 15, verse 6, chapter 15 of Proverbs in verse 6. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. Now the amount, remember, will vary. It's not talking about everyone having large amounts here. We're talking about the fact that wealth tends to be retained, acquired in the first place, and then retained by those of character. You know, the people that have been, at least in my experience, the most successful that I've encountered, whether they're in a corporate setting or whether they're in an educational setting or whatever the setting may be, people that I find that are the most successful are the people that I find who have the greatest character. They're honorable people. They're people whose word you can trust. And you know you can go back and do a deal with them and they're not going to do you in. Chapter 28 of Proverbs. Another word for a person of integrity or a person of righteousness or a person of honesty that is used here in the text is the word faithful. A steward, it says that it's required of the steward that the man be found faithful. And so we read here in verse 20, the first part of verse 20 of chapter 28 of Proverbs, a faithful man, a person of integrity, honesty, dependability, will abound with blessings. Not just material blessings. I mean, that's not the only source of blessing. You're going to retain not only wealth, you're going to retain friends, you're going to retain family, you're going to retain your reputation, you're going to retain a lot of other things if you're a person of character and integrity. And surely, in the terms of acquisition and retaining of wealth, a person who can be trusted is a person that people will come back to again and again to do business with. You think this person has done you in, you're not going to go back there again, are you? If they've done it to you once, you know, then you're warned not to go back there again and try to do another deal. Integrity is a source of wealth. But most importantly, Proverbs chapter 10. Well, we read this one, didn't we? In verse 22, but I want to emphasize it in a new way. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Let's look at another passage that's similar to that in chapter 22, because we just looked at that one. Chapter 22, we read in verse 4 of chapter 22 of Proverbs, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Humility, of course, is a recognition, a proper recognition of who you are in relationship to God, that you don't have an overblown sense of your value and your worth and your importance. We ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, as we read in the New Testament. by humility and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is that basic attitude which says, God is my master. Why would I behave in an honorable way? Why would I live a life of integrity because I fear the Lord? Why would I work hard? Why would I be found faithful? Why would I do all of these things? Because I want to honor God. Why would I be responsible with what God places in my hands, whether it's the fruit of my labor or an inheritance? Because I love God. And so the fear of God is the ultimate source or the ultimate cause. Remember, he's the one that provides it all. He's the one that causes it to happen. Well, if the person responds out of respect and out of love and out of fear of God, in that proper sense of the word fear, because he wants to please him, then God is going to return to that person of character, that person of honor and integrity, the blessings that he wants to give. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses had something to say about it that is worth looking at. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Important passage, because this was a reminder upon the part of Moses to the people of Israel that they were about to enter a land that was going to prove to be very prosperous. That is, they were going to find themselves with a lot of blessings, materially speaking. Whether these blessings were in the form of the animals that they had, or the crops that they grew, or the children that they raised, they were going to find themselves, if they were found faithful, blessed out of their socks when they enter this land. What do you do when you start getting blessed? What do you do when it starts pouring in? That's what this is talking about. This is a very important passage. What do you do with it when the blessings start? Deuteronomy chapter 8, someone said, well, I haven't had that experience, so I'm not sure what I would do. Well, you've all had that experience to one level or another. What do you do when God places something in your hands, a blessing of any sort, whether it's material or otherwise? Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 11. And with this we'll close for today. This will conclude the sources of wealth. Wisdom, hard work, integrity, God himself is the ultimate source. Starting in verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, Moses says. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, verse 13, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, go down to verse 17, then you might say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You begin to take the credit. Obviously, I'm a smart guy. I'm a smart lady. I did it. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? Looked out on his possessions one day in his kingdom. He says, might of my hand did all of this. God says, I think you need a humble lesson. He didn't eat humble pie, he ate humble grass. And Nebuchadnezzar found out that there was a God in heaven who rules over the affairs of men, and that he dared not arrogate to himself and take to himself the credit for all of the blessings that God had given him. But Moses is warning the people that this is a danger. Then, verse 17 of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, then you may say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Now he says in command, and you shall remember the Lord your God when it starts to pour in. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth. For it is he who gives you the intelligence and the wisdom and helps you maintain your character if you obey him. It is he who gives you your inheritance. It is he who gives you the wages for your labor. It is he who gives you everything you have. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The purpose of his pouring it on was that he would make you and all of us into the persons he's designed us to be. End of that verse. That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. So I wanted you to see the morning. And with this we'll close. that Moses gave to the people of Israel before they entered a time of great material blessing. He says, when it starts to pour in, and it's going really good, are you going to start congratulating yourself and saying, you know, oh, what a wise, smart, intelligent, handsome, clever person I am. I did all this. And take the credit. Or is that going to be a cause of you saying, thank you, God. I couldn't have done this without you. I don't come into this world manufacturing my own intelligence. You give it to me. I don't come into this world manufacturing all my own opportunities. You lead me in my life. It's God who gives it to you for a purpose. And we're going to talk about that purpose next time. He is so good to us, to all of us. We're all wealthy. And he's given it to us because he supplied us with the wisdom. He's given it to us because he has supplied us with the opportunity to work. Some of us are still looking for work. He's given it to us because he has shown us how to live rightly with integrity so that it can actually be fruitful. And finally, he has shown us that he is the ultimate source of everything we have. To him be all the glory. To him be all the praise. To him be all the credit. He gave it to us. We owe it back to him. All of it. Not just 10%. We owe it all back to him. Now let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we bow before you as we begin this series on wealth and your view of it. How we thank you that you view it as positive, as something that is part of your plan, your covenant, to be able to produce what you want to produce in us and in the lives of others, that you've chosen to incorporate us into your divine economy, that we might be means and conduits and channels through whom you flow your blessings to others. Thank you for so trusting us. Thank you for so blessing us. Thank you for so using us. May we be found to be faithful stewards of what you have placed in our hands. You've given it all to us in the first place. In Jesus' name we pray with great thanksgiving for your blessings in our lives. Amen. God bless you this week.